On episode 17, we bring back our rating scales for movies and TV shows. Not only entertainment that came out this year, but also some OGs and even some that came out within the recent years sprinkled within there. You'll figure out what to watch, what not to watch, and what shows or films to not watch. So without further ado, this is Nathan and Kale's Rating Scales, 2021 TV shows and movies. Let's go.
Partying, masturbation,
how to find love,
being 5'11".
Yeah.
This is basically just a podcast for the people.
A lifestyle podcast.
You can play it anytime.
Think about it. You can't bite down on something. You literally bite up.
What? What? This is a podcast for young adults, university and college students, and anyone else who wants to listen to a couple of relatable delinquents who talk about life.
I'm not horny, I promise.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Minimal Filters.
Today's podcast is brought to you by our friends over at Shoddy. What exactly is a Shoddy? Well, if you don't know by now, the Shoddy is the first of its kind. It's a functional piece of jewelry that also works as a shotgun necklace. Shoddies are affordable, dual-purpose necklaces with a multitude of designs. Go right now to the website, theshoddy.com, that's THECHOTY.com, and order one. Use special discount code MFERS, that's capital MF, lowercase ERS, for an extra 10% off your order.
Job well done from his cave.
From my dungeon back in Indus, Alberta.
This is the first ever remote episode of Minimal Filters. I'm in our apartment myself while Kale is elsewhere. Kale, would you like to tell everyone why?
Yeah.
Where and so, why are you where you are?
First of all, where I am, I'm at my parents' place back in Indus, the place I grew up. I've been going back and forth between this bedroom, which is like a spare TV room where I can just basically watch fucking 12 hours a day of TV and Netflix. Between this room and my bedroom and then the bathroom, because my parents aren't letting me out into the hallway or the kitchen. So they've been bringing me meals and water for the past 5 days because, yeah, I got COVID.
Cool.
First noticed fucking symptoms, I guess, on Christmas Eve. And then Christmas morning, I tested positive. So no Christmas for Kale and no New Year's for Kale. So it's been a sad end to my 2021.
Yeah, you put a spin on my Christmas as well because I had to get tested, obviously. So I spent an hour on Christmas Day at urgent care just getting tested.
Oh, so sorry, man.
Yeah, I came back negative, which I don't know how that's possible based upon the fact you tested positive as well as some of our friends did.
Yeah, everyone in Calgary's got COVID right now, it feels like, except for you.
But I'm just built different. That's just the reality.
Well, you already had it, so maybe you're already immune to the antigen.
I'm just built different. That's just the way it is. How does it feel?
You're a different breed.
How does it feel to get COVID though? Like when it's not cool. Like
This is like COVID. This is like pity COVID now. It's like I'm getting it just to be everyone else.
Yeah, like the life cycle of COVID. Like it started as like if you got COVID at the very beginning, it was like holy fuck, like you got COVID. Yeah. Like at the beginning in like, you know, your April 2020 area. And then around there, it was like, holy fuck, you got COVID. You're fucked up. And then it went through a cycle where it was fucking cool. It was like, holy fuck, like, oh, sick. Like you got COVID. Like you're one of the few people. And now it's literally to the point where it's like, come on, man. Like you actually got COVID. Like
when you got it, Bales, it was kind of like, holy shit, Bales could die. We should go and like send him a care package. And then when I have it, it's like, dude, Kale's faking it. He doesn't have COVID.
Every cool. person who has COVID right now is faking it. I think that's the reality. Before we get into our movies and TV shows, I just want to quickly shout out this. Her name's Lorna J on Facebook. She posted on the Calgary buy and sell page, not sure why. Her exact message was, hope you all had a Merry Christmas. Did you all remember the reason for the holiday season? His name is Jesus, followed by 4 exclamation marks. So thank you, Lorna, for that reminder. How does that make you feel, Kale? You're not Catholic, are you?
I'm not, but I think the one episode we talked about how like I'm not like a steady believer or not a believer. I'm just kind of neutral. I think stuff like that, that's one of those things where it's just like, quit trying to preach your religion on Facebook. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Go do it on your own times. I'll never, ever be mad at someone for their, like, whatever their beliefs are. But as soon as they try to preach it and like make everyone else kind of fall into them, like into their rules and stuff like that. It's like, come on.
There's nothing wrong with people's religions. I find my biggest thing in regards to that post is the fact that I'm on Calgary buy and sell page looking to try and find some cats to adopt. And I see this shit. Like,
yeah,
I'm trying to look for free cats right now on Facebook. And
go to Kijiji, man. Kijiji has all the free cats. My neighbors and stuff, even like here, we used to always get free cats just like for Mausers to put in the barn and eat all the mice, but then the coyotes would kill them. So we're basically feeding the Yodis.
Yeah, very nice. All right, let's get into it. We're going to start off. We're just going to rip off movies to start off.
Yeah, we're doing movies to start.
Our rating scales, Kale.
Yeah, quickly.
Kale, quickly go. Obviously, the majority of people know at this point what they are, but just go quickly what they are.
Okay, our rating scales, 1 through 5, 1 being the worst, it's shitting pants, which is easily the worst thing ever. Do not recommend. Number 2 is hangxiety, which sucks, but you'll get through it. 3 is lukewarm water, which is the most average thing ever. 4 is happy hour, which is always a good time, but don't sell your soul for it. And 5, which we all love, is peak climax, which is worth dying for. Easily the best experience possible.
We all know.
A couple of these movies are.
We all know peak climax is worth dying for. Let's be honest.
Some of us know.
Yeah. So like I said, in the quick intro, we have movies that came out this year, as well as some TV shows. But I'd say about we're half and half. Half are things that came out this year. And then the other half are ones just kind of like some of our favorites or ones that people told us to watch. So without further ado, our first movie, which you can find on Netflix, is Red Notice, a movie starring Ryan Reynolds, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, and Gal Gadot. But like, let's be honest, Kale, like for me, I clicked on the movie because like the three leads are just three gorgeous human beings. Like, I'll be honest. Yeah. That's why I initially watched.
That's what I wrote down too, man. I think the cast for this movie was the main thing that brought everyone's attention, because like you said, you got The Rock, which is probably obviously he's attractive, but one of the top American actors right now. You have Ryan Reynolds, who is the top Canadian actor right now, and then Gal Gadot, who's just, everyone knows her, she's one of the most beautiful women on planet Earth.
Yeah, the way Gal Gadot looks is probably like, if I ever saw Gal Gadot in person, I think I would be so intimidated to even be within like a 10 feet radius of her. Like, I wouldn't even get near her. I would be so afraid.
I wouldn't know how to act.
I'd probably run away. I mean, honestly, I'd be like, I can't be in this area. I don't deserve to be in the same area as this woman. All right. For me, the movie, it wasn't like, obviously most people clicked on it because of, you know, just gorgeous humans. But for me, there was a lot more than that. There was some great twists. There was really good action. And like, by far, my favorite part of the movie was the banter between The Rock and Ryan Reynolds. Yeah. Their back and forth that they had within the movie were like, they were fucking phenomenal. They had me belly chuckling. Like, I was like a 50-year-old dad, I'd say. Not 60, but 50.
Yeah, no one had a 60-year-old dad, Bill.
Except me, because I'm just that special. What else you got on the movie?
I basically said that it felt like it was almost like they weren't even like running a script. It was just so natural, it seemed, and like their banter back and forth seemed like it was actually something that The Rock and Ryan Reynolds would do like in their personal lives between one another.
Yeah.
I think that the cast was perfectly, like each role was played perfectly. Even what's the one actress's name? Ritu Arya, who was like the detective, I think she was. Even her, like it was perfectly rolled. I think it, like, the mixture of comedy and action is exactly what you'd expect from these two actors, Ryan Reynolds and The Rock. And just like from start to finish, it's just, you're engaged. I've actually watched it twice because it was fucking amazing, and wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. I think it's one of those movies where you'll get exactly what you'd expect from the character.
So I also, quick note, you know, like back in the day, like there was like buddy cop movies. Like it would be like, you know, it's kind of like a buddy cop movie, but like next level action. Like it's like the banter between those two is literally just, it just seems like they're two cops that like got put together, like they're partners, but they didn't want to be together. And then next thing you know, it just turned out really well.
Like the other guys.
Yeah, quite literally. For me, I gave it a 4.5 out of 5. Cool. I was entertained the whole way out, and like, that's really all I can ask for a movie. And I also laughed a lot. But a 5 for me is extremely prestigious when it comes to TV shows and movies. So I'm going to leave it at a 4.5 out of 5.
Yeah, see, I had the exact same rating. I also had a 4.5 out of 5. And one thing that I did for all these movies and shows, Bales, that I'll just kind of say at the end if I feel like it, is I looked at the Rotten Tomatoes rating as well online. This one has a 37% somehow only.
Yeah, I think it's just because we have greater taste than critics.
I think that people should use our ratings
instead
more
of Rotten Tomatoes.
100%.
Yeah, especially, you know what really bothers me is the ratings IMDb gives a lot. They don't really give like really good ratings to a lot, except for like the exceptional like movies that win best film of the year, right?
Yeah, no, 100%.
So for anyone listening to this, the tens of thousands of millions of people who listen to this, this is going to be your new go-to for movies and TV shows. Like, we just know exactly how to rate things. That's just the reality.
We don't miss either. We don't miss.
Yeah, we don't miss. Next one, Kale. It's called Don Wall. Kale, so you can take the lead.
This one's mine here. So I watched this just the other day when I was home in isolation. It's a documentary about the first two individuals to ever free climb the Don Wall, which is the most difficult face of the infamous El Capitan in Yosemite. Tommy Caldwell and Kevin Jorgensen are the two who climb it. And the whole base of the reasoning as to why Tommy originally wanted to be the first to climb it is because he needed something to like take his mind off of heartbreak. So, I mean, I don't know if I would personally...
A natural breakup story. You get broken up with a girl and you're like, I'm going to go climb a mountain. This is what you do.
The first person to ever free climb.
This is what you do.
It's so good. And like documentaries can be hit or miss depending on like, I mean, lots of things, but this one is, it just from the very start, you kind of almost like create some kind of bond with the main character. Like you want him to be successful.
Yeah.
So, I mean like, yeah, we're going to save some spoilers in these. We'll try not to as much as we can, but just the ending of this is just so relieving. And there's a lot of crazy like moments that almost make you like jump out of your seat. Like, holy shit. Because it's a documentary, right? So they're filming this stuff live at the time and anything can go wrong. He's literally on the fucking side of the mountain. So it's insane. Did you watch it, Bales?
No. I was busy.
No, that's fair. There's another one that you watched here that I haven't either. So I'll just completely...
So what do you give the Don Wall?
I give it a 4.75 out of 5.
4.75?
Yeah. 4.75.
Damn, getting really specific with these.
Yeah, 9.5 out of 10. 95% I'm giving it.
All right.
Again, I suggest using ours. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 100, which I've never seen before.
Yeah, that's nuts.
100.
Okay. Don Wall, very good documentary, apparently. I wouldn't know. We'll move on to probably the biggest movie of the year. Spider-Man No Way Home. I still have it written as Spider-Man in my notes. Thank you, Kale. whether you're a Marvel nerd like myself, which is for the record the only time I'm ever a nerd, or if you're just a casual movie watcher, I think you will genuinely love this movie. You'll love it a lot more, obviously, if you're really into the Marvel movies and like the whole cinematic universe and whatever. But overall, it was a great film. There was, you know, all the emotions you felt during Endgame. It's basically, you'll get those. You get all of those throughout this movie, which I didn't expect at all. And I'll be honest, I was close to shedding a tear. I didn't during Spider-Man. I did during Endgame, obviously. Who didn't?
Duh.
But it was honestly like action, a lot of good, like funny lines. And then if you've watched like any of the Spider-Man movies, like trust me, it's worth going to. I have to give it a 5 out of 5. It's probably going to be my easiest rating I'm going to give for this entire episode. And it also just reached $1 billion like in gross revenue. And that's the first movie to do that since the beginning of the pandemic. So Spider-Man basically brought movies back to the theater. You can say movies are back.
I don't know if honestly, man, like, I hate to be the person to say this, but I feel like movie theater experience will never be the same.
No, I also agree with that statement, but I feel like movies like this show that like people are going to go to theaters when a huge one like this comes out. So
yeah, that's fair. But like a lot of movies, like even like think about how many new movies are just like Netflix owned, where like that's the only place you can watch it. Same as like Prime. There's so many more movies being released on platforms as opposed to out in the theater.
Yeah,
so
it's just this is the world we live in. We're in the middle of the streaming wars, as they say.
Speaking of wars.
Wow, really good. Really good one. Next movie called Tomorrow War. I think it came out 2020 or early 2021. It's available on Prime. It's basically Chris Pratt in his like niche role that he's been doing lately, where he's like a serious action guy, but obviously throughout the movie, he goes back to being his funny and comedic self to loosen the mood. Like, the reality is like, he's kind of, you know, The Rock is just like a pure action star now. Same kind of thing where like, he's got a little bit of comedy, but Chris Pratt is like more serious, but he still has comedy in every role he ever, like, it's the same role he's ever in.
It's basically like the White Rock.
Yeah. There's this like one guy, he's like a side character in like every single movie. And if you look at like his IMDb movies, like, I don't know the exact name, I'm obviously paraphrasing, but like his character in every single movie is like Louise or something. And he's like, if you go through his IMDb page of things he's appeared in, there's like 15 like different roles he was in, and all of them, his name was Louise as a side character.
I've seen one like that too, where it was like Hector. It was a guy in Breaking Bad. Yeah. It was like Hector.
Every
like
movie.
Badass Hector was one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So back to Tomorrow War, those fucking alien things that they were fighting throughout the movie, they actually scared the shit out of me, I'll be honest.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
And the white claws. Yeah, the white claws. Very good advertising by the seltzer company to do that. They definitely planned that. they contacted Prime, and they're like, can you just name these fucking things White Claws? So that way everyone like thinks of us immediately. Have a decent twist in it that I personally didn't see coming. Kale, do you want to give your rating for the movie?
Yeah. I didn't even fucking get to talk about it, but whatever. Only thing I really had to say about it was that I think it was honestly extremely overhyped. Like, it was all you saw on Prime for like a month before it was released. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll give my rating. I give it a 3 out of 5. Again, it was good, but it was just overhyped for me. I was kind of excited the whole time, and like, yeah, a lot of shit did happen that was really cool. And like you said, there's a really cool twist, which we're not going to spoil what it was, 'cause it was actually a really big part of the movie. But, 3.5 for me. It was
3.5.
It was lukewarm.
So I just went with a 3 out of 5.
That's what I meant. 3 out of 5.
You went 3. Okay. So yeah, it was just a solid action movie. Like, if you're just looking for a movie to watch and you can't really find anything, you'll be entertained if you do watch it. There's really not much more to it than that. Like you said, I wouldn't say overhyped. I would just say that they advertised the shit out of it. Like, they did. I think they advertised on the Super Bowl and shit, even maybe like back when, like last year. I don't know. I remember it was like on some big advertisement. So
it was like advertised for a whole entire year almost, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was decent, but nothing special. Next movie, Free Guy, which is available on Disney Plus. I'm just going to say I genuinely love this movie. It did a great job at owning exactly like what it was going for. Like, it didn't take itself too seriously at any point throughout the movie. And like, that's a mistake that a lot of movies end up making, is they try to intermingle like a balance of seriousness and comedy. But some of the best movies just own the exact tone that it should be. And this movie just owned the tone of being a fucking goofy movie that had really cool action. So.
Yeah, like I highly, highly recommend. Such a good plot. And it's a unique movie. Like, there isn't really much out there like this one. So Guy is Ryan Reynolds' character. He's an NPC player in a video game, but through some like tech and shit that we don't know, but like, he becomes like his own kind of artificial intelligence brain. And like, he gets like feelings and has all this other stuff that the other NPCs don't, which is, again, a really cool concept. Just follows kind of the character arc in this movie is fucking unreal, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it did what it was going for perfectly. Yeah. Sorry. And 100%. That's like, that's all you can ask for a movie. Like, some of the worst movies that have flopped, like some of those, like the Justice League movies, like they tried going for such a dark tone, but they mixing in this comedy. And it's like, you have to go for a certain tone and just stick with it. And this movie stuck with just being fucking ridiculous. So my rating is a 4.5 out of 5. I can't give it a 5, but it perfected exactly what it was going for. So
I also gave it a 4.5 out of 5. So that's fucking awesome. We're on the same page there. 90% overall from us for free. Yeah. So definitely go watch it.
Yeah. Next movie, an absolute OG, no doubt about it. Step Brothers. Basically,
this was when we put our IG poll, asking for like movies that you guys recommended. This one, obviously, it's an older one, but like three or four of you said to like watch it and rate it. If you haven't seen Step Brothers yet, I don't know where the fuck you at.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck's wrong with you.
Yeah, go watch right now. Honestly, if you're on vacation, which everyone still is, go watch right now. It's two middle-aged men who become stepbrothers after obviously one's mom marries the other one's dad. And they basically got to watch them battle it out until they become best friends. And it's it's good from start to finish because it's fucking just like Baylor said, it's like Free Guy where it stays on the same kind of like tone the whole time. And it's just fucking ridiculous.
First off, thank you for explaining how step families work, Kale.
Just to make sure people don't know.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Honestly, you can like, I've probably seen it like probably a dozen times and I could still laugh at it. Like, some of the best one-liners ever. Like the one, like I have a few written down. I have like, why are you so sweaty? I was watching Cops. Robert better not get in my face because I'll drop that motherfucker. Or my one of my favorites of the movie is, hey Derek, you know what's good for shoulder pain? If you lick my butthole.
One of my favorites is when he's sleep talking, he goes, the clown has no penis.
Yeah. Such a good film.
But there's 100 fucking one-liners in that movie.
Yeah. A true masterpiece of a comedy film. Don't ever doubt it. 5 out of 5. Easy peasy. What do you got? Did you go 5?
I gave it 5. Sure did.
Okay. Awesome.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of 5 podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jag and Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundle from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.
The next movie, Don't Look Up, the one that just came out on Netflix. Did you watch this one or am I taking the lead on this one?
This is your Don Wall.
Okay. So Don't Look Up. It's got Leo DiCaprio, Jonah Hill, a bunch of other actors, Jennifer Lawrence. For me, it does such an excellent job at making fun of America. It accurately portrays how America would react if a comet was hurtling towards Earth. Like the fact that it literally showed that the president, everything, cares more about money than they do in actual and their polls than the actual comet hurtling towards Earth was fucking hilarious. Leonardo DiCaprio killed his portrayal of a nerdy scientist.
Always does. Yeah. Always fucking kills his.
Yeah. He did a great job. Like he played a nerdy scientist and he was so good at it. And I was very satisfied with how the movie ended up ending. It wasn't a cheesy ending or anything. It just ended probably how it should have. And Jonah Hill's character, he played being a complete douche in the White House extremely well, and he was fucking hilarious in it. I'm gonna give it a 4 out of 5. It's an entertaining movie, and like I was genuinely engaged throughout. It's not one that I would probably pay a VIP money to go, but for a Netflix original as well as like one that you can throw on whenever, it was a very entertaining movie. So I would recommend Don't Look Up.
Do you think that I don't know who directed it or produced it, but do you think it was kind of like a little shot at the current American government?
I think it was more of America as a whole, like kind of like how like how money really drives the country and morals and everything doesn't.
How oblivious they are to the real world.
Yeah, that's really deep thoughts, but there was a lot into it, and then there was a funny like kind of mid-credit scene that was also fucking hilarious. So
I love that.
Check it out. Don't Look Up on Netflix. The next one, Unforgivable, okay. Another Netflix original.
I'll be quick on mine.
We're going to disagree on this one no matter what, because you didn't even get to the good twist, but
I'll start and then you can fucking fill it in. But
yeah,
so this was, And I'm not calling, I mean, I am kind of calling you out, but so this one that you watched before I watched and you told me to watch it yesterday. I started it and not just started, but I watched the first like 35, 40 minutes. And that is just way too long for nothing at all to fucking happen. Literally not a single thing happened in the first 40 minutes. And I literally paused it, Googled it, read some reviews, and not one good review. So I don't know if you were just fucking in some weird mood when you watched it.
Maybe.
I fucking give it a zero out of
five. No. So like, it's about this woman who goes to prison who she allegedly killed a police officer. But for me, there was a big twist that I didn't see coming that you obviously didn't get to. Nope. I didn't shed a cheek. Wow.
You didn't shed a cheek.
Let me try to this whole English thing again. I didn't shed a tear or anything, but like it did pull my heartstrings because there was, like I said, there was a big twist near the end that really like, it really put the whole movie into context. And I didn't see it coming. I would recommend it. I gave it a 4 out of 5, but you have to unlike Kale and more like me, you have to like have an adult taste in movies. Unlike Kale, who just likes flashy things.
No, man. It's just like, it's maybe cause I've been fucking cooped up for fucking over 100 hours now in this room. It's just like, I was just waiting for something great to happen. And I should have waited. Maybe I'll watch it today and I'll get back to you. But instead of watching it, I turned to another TV show that we'll get into later, but I'd rather watch something that I know is good than watch something that I fucking didn't even, I wasted 40 minutes of my life watching it.
Okay. Fair enough.
If you have an
what'd
hour,
you give it? Hey, what did you rate your 40 minutes?
Zero.
Okay. That works for me. We're good. Like the whole point is we're supposed to have a little like disagreement here.
So like, we'll just see who trusts me more, who trusts you more. If people go watch it.
Like the reality is like if you trust Kale, you're wrong. If you trust my opinion, you're right. That's just the reality. You know, that's just the way the world works.
You should go with your heart, people. So
can't you ruin that. I skipped a beat there. The next movie, which is also a Netflix one, is called Midsummer, but it's spelled
Love it.
It's Midsommar. A movie we were told to watch by many people, but holy fuck, Kale, I wish I didn't watch that.
Yeah, so this is like, like I said, this is one where I think two people at least told us they recommended this one. And I'm like, yeah, okay, fuck it. I watched it. Caught me right away. Caught me right away for sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's a
horror movie. Yeah. So
fucked up movie.
I'm not gonna you really don't want to get into too much. Like it's a complete horror movie mind fuck. Like just, but it's not like here's the thing that really like made me kind of enjoy watching it. I hate horror movies though. So like I could barely watch this, but it's not like there was like paranormal activity or like, you know, like possession, like ghosts and shit. It was literally like just gruesome and grotesque and physical things occurred throughout the movie that made you literally go like, what the actual fuck am I watching? Like, if you think about it, there wasn't a single point where it was like there wasn't any like, you know, spirits or like shit like that. It was literally just fucked up people with fucked up beliefs doing fucked up things.
There was one scene that made me almost fucking press pause and go for a walk and get some water to fucking clear my head.
There was one
scene that scared me, but the rest of the scenes, yeah, it's just mind fuckery, dude. Like, oh my God. I'm just like, it's one of those movies where it makes you wonder if shit like this actually happens in real life.
Yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't anything like everything that happened in this movie could legit happen in real life. Like there wasn't like I said, there wasn't like some fucking ghost possessing someone and like just eating people or something like that. I don't know if that happens.
It wasn't like Hereditary.
Okay. So I have two ratings for this. I have my personal rating and then I have my rating for people who like sickening movies. For people who like sickening movies, it's a 5 out of 5, 100%. Like this movie does a great job at just like having your attention throughout the entire movie. But for me, I gave it a 105 because it's not my cup of tea and I'm probably gonna have nightmares. So
that's fair. Okay. I just gave it kind of an overall rating. And like you said, I also don't like scary movies and kind of like cringy that makes you want to fucking squirm movies, but this one was different. I loved it. I fucking absolutely enjoyed it. It's one of those movies too, where like, it makes you feel like you're there sometimes as well, just cause like the soundtrack and like the emotions that they kind of give off, you literally feel them through the whole entire movie. And I gave it a 4 out of 5. It would be a five, like you said, if I was one who loved movies like this, but I didn't usually, except for this one. So I'm going to give it a four out of
five. Despite, like, even for me, like, I hate those types of movies. And there was points when I, like, genuinely, like, couldn't watch the screen. But I was like, I'll say I was genuinely like entertained, and except for the really, really gross scenes, I had I was engaged throughout the entire thing. So Midsommar on Netflix, honestly, I would recommend it despite the fact I'm going to have nightmares because, you know, when I was a kid, I got nightmares watching Batman. So that's how bad I am at this.
If there's one thing to take from this one, just if you don't like these movies, you'll like this one. So everyone should go watch this one regardless of who you are.
Yeah, fair enough. Our last movie, and like we basically had to throw it in here. Like we basically had to, right? Like
at the end too.
Yeah. Avengers Endgame. If you haven't seen this yet, like what the actual fuck are you doing?
Yeah, where
are
you at?
The culmination of like the 20 plus Marvel movies, so perfectly wrapped up with a bow that is this movie itself. Like, let's be honest.
Said it any better.
Yeah, let's like it did the Marvel Universe justice. It did everything perfectly. It made you, like I said earlier during Spider-Man, it made you feel so many emotions. I was one of those people who cried in the theater, not like loudly, but like a couple tears came out of my face. It's just what happens when you're in touch with your emotions and you're a real man. So how's that?
Yeah, real men cry.
Yeah.
I honestly, like, you basically took the words right out of my mouth for when it comes to what I had to say. The one thing that I'll say about this movie that I wish more movies did was no trailer. There's movies
they
have fucking, movies nowadays have like 3-minute trailers, man. You can literally watch the whole entire movie in just a trailer.
Well, that's
with
because
this, there was not one spoiler, not one trailer, nothing. Yeah. And I was so happy.
Well, they gave there was a trailer, but it didn't show anything really. It just showed like the people in it. But like, here's what I was thinking is basically every Marvel movie before was a trailer. How's that? Because it all led to this. It did.
Like that.
5 out of 5. Don't try to tell me otherwise. This is a cinematic masterpiece.
Yeah.
Don't question it.
I gave it a 5 out of 5.
Okay. TV shows. Kale, do you have to do a quick ad read before we get into our TV shows?
I do. And our TV show side of this segment is brought to you by our friends at Good Under Pressure. Are you sick of having to stare at unwanted graffiti or vandalism in and around your community? Well, say no more. Good Under Pressure has the best graffiti solutions on the entire planet. Their eco-friendly products work on numerous surfaces and help get them back looking better than ever. Check out their website over at goodunderpressure.com. Spelled exactly how it sounds, and click request a proposal. Good Under Pressure. Not only their name, but the way they sponsor podcasts.
Very well. Good thing we didn't have to redo that because I really don't want to edit this. This Zoom shit's fucking hard.
Also, I really hope that I've been muting myself. I blow my nose a couple times and I think I was able to mute myself so people didn't hear how gross it is. But if I didn't, I'm sorry.
Thank you, COVID boy.
No problem.
All right, TV shows. Our very first TV show, Ted Lasso, which is available on Apple TV. I want to start here because I was one of those people who, when the first two seasons came out, I heard about how good it was, but I was never intrigued enough to actually watch it. But as soon as you and I started watching it, Kale, I literally couldn't stop. Like this,
dude, we watched it all in like 3 days.
Yeah. It like the entire show, like it makes you laugh and it created characters that are so down to earth and real that you literally feel every emotion that they're feeling. Like for those of you who haven't seen it, like this is your sign to go and watch it because like, there's no way you'll regret it. You will at least like at the very least, you'll laugh at these cheesy ass lines that this TV show executes so well. Or you will honestly, like, you'll feel for these characters and you'll, like, cry and you'll, like, I felt everything that these characters felt. Every single character. It was nuts. I've never felt this way about a TV show. I mean, honest. Like,
no, like, it was, so in the last 4 years of new TV shows, this one's definitely my favorite. Like I said, you and I binged it in, like, 3 nights, I'd say. The perfect cast. Each character is perfect in their own little way. And one thing I did not know going into it is that it would make me cry. And I'll admit there's probably 3 or 4 times where I left the couch with tears in my eyes. Every single episode ended on like a cliffhanger that made you want to watch more, which we did. And just Jason Sudeikis, hell of an actor, has won so many awards, and it's honestly worth getting an Apple subscription just to watch this show.
I had that. I was going to say, like, if you don't have Apple TV, get the free subscription, binge out Ted Lasso, and then cancel it, because this show itself is so worth watching. I give it a 5 out of 5. On top of everything we've already said about it, it actually does an excellent job at addressing like current world issues as well. Yeah. So let's go with that. Like, it's truly phenomenal. And the owner of the soccer team itself might be the hottest MILF in the history of TV history. In the history of TV history.
Her, and I'm not trying to sound like a fucking dick stereotypical piece of shit, but her body is fucking in.
You do, but I think she's just gorgeous all around, and her accent too. Like, I've legit never, like I said earlier with Gal Gadot, if I saw this woman in a room, I don't think I would run the other way, because she seems more innocent than Gal Gadot, but I would just stare at her the whole time.
She seems like royalty.
She does. She is like, if you don't want to watch it for, you know, the humor and the emotions, you can at least watch it to see probably the hottest MILF in history.
I wonder how old she is. I bet she's like 52 in real life.
If I see her in person, I'll probably give her a chance. Like, I would let her talk to me.
You'd give her a chance. You
know? I'd give her a chance, man.
One last thing I have about Ted Lasso is that there's also little like army men as a symbolism, and I literally have one above my door. So I'm just a huge fan. You can just tell.
Through and through. Next show, Flight Attendant, which is available on Crave or HBO Max. Stars.
I'll go first.
Yeah, you can go ahead.
So this is, I believe, this is the most recent show you and I have watched together. If you're scrolling on was it Netflix or Prime or Crave?
This is Crave or HBO Max.
Yeah, right. So if you're scrolling Crave or HBO, don't let the name and the cover of it fool you. This is more about murder and crime than anything else. And Kaylee Cuoco, whatever you pronounce your last name, so goddamn hot. And she plays it so perfect as well. There's a couple, like, what the fuck? And, like, I didn't expect that moments in this show that are absolutely insane. One thing that I noticed about this show is that lots of times in shows and movies, they'll drop little kind of hints about what might happen in the future, like the kind of foreshadowing. This one did a good job of not doing a single ounce of that.
Yeah.
Every single like kind of, oh my God moment, you had no chance of ever knowing that was even possible. Like,
yeah.
It was such a job well done by the producers and directors of this TV
show. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. I like that description. I haven't seen her in anything since The Big Bang Theory, like legit nothing, I think. So when I saw her in this, she played her alcoholic flight attendant very well. Yep. It was basically one of those murder mysteries, but like the murderer was there the entire time. Right. And then that's how murder mysteries work. Like it just ends up being the person who you didn't think it was the whole time. My one knock on it was they kept doing those flashback things throughout it. I didn't like those. Like, I thought it just kind of killed the flow of the rest of the show.
But it was kind of hit or miss.
But in the long run, like looking at it, it did help the show and the character, like the character arc of whatever fucking name was, Kaylee. It was a good show. I'll give it a 4 out of 5. You will enjoy watching it. And there are some times, but there are times when you're watching it that you want to grab your phone or something, but it is very good. And the twists are phenomenal in it. And any show that has twists throughout it, that like, those are the shows that just grab you in. Right.
Yeah. And so it's only one, it's just one season. I personally think there's going to be another season the way it kind of ends. There's still lots kind of left unsaid that we didn't really understand. Aside from being an intense show, it kind of also covers and highlights the issues of like substance abuse and alcohol addiction, which again, Kaylee Cuoco did an outstanding job, and I would not be surprised if she gets nominated for an award with this show. That's how good it is and how outstanding of a fucking actress
she
is.
She get nominated for the Nails.
Yeah.
For the Claylers.
The Claylers.
The Boostins. Sorry, you can go ahead. Just give me a rating.
Boostins isn't bad. I gave it a 4.5 out of 5.
Nice.
90% from Kale over here.
Very good. Very good show. If you guys, like, I hadn't heard about it, and then my parents like said they just were scrolling on there and they found it, and it is a very good show. So if you haven't heard about it, check it out on Crave or HBO. Yeah. Our next show, which is available on Prime, is called The Boys.
The Boys.
It's not like obviously the name The Boys, you'd expect it to be about a couple like douchebags like us living in an apartment and making a podcast or something.
It's actually our show, so this is a fundraiser.
It's a documentary. But for those of you who haven't heard of it, which I'm sure like a lot of you haven't, it's entertaining as fuck. Like it is literally if you mixed the Avengers with like a Quentin Tarantino movie. Yeah, right? Like there's bloody, there's gory scenes, and it's fucking hilarious. And as someone who obviously, like I say, like I like the Avengers, I like superheroes in general. They just fascinate me because I basically am one in human form.
Fuck.
I liked it because of that aspect. And it also just, holy man, my mouth is just like really like wet today. So I keep saying like too many letters.
Got a wet mouth.
Is that too much information?
A little bit.
That's okay. I was going to say before I decided to speak gibberish, one of the great aspects of me of the show is it does a phenomenal job at displaying like corporate America. Kind of like how I said, like, Don't Look Up makes fun of America. Mm-hmm. This does a great job at showing like how business really works and like how much power money has, especially in the States, and how literally America is just a movie and a TV show in itself. And it translates, it translates our real world problems and like everything within our world when it comes to money and power. It translates our like real life situations into this superhero ran world. There we go.
Fucking right. I like that. That was good. So yeah, this is one of those shows too, where like, it took me a while. We didn't watch it together. Well, we did, but you watched it your second time while I was watching my first time. It took me a while to watch it. Even though you and a couple other buddies like were trying to convince me for like over a year, I literally thought it was just another knockoff superhero movie that was trying to like copy the Avengers or any like other Marvel superhero, but I was completely wrong. It's fucking hilarious. And the first 10 minutes will hook you.
Yeah.
To me, it kind of almost feels like it's like a parody of superheroes in a way. Cause yeah, they're suits. That's what they're called, but they're not like your typical superhero save the world kind of thing. It's a different knock or like a different kind of perspective on superhero films. So I think it's honestly, I highly recommend it. You won't be wasting your time if you decide to watch it. Everything happens, or like 10 different things happen in one episode. I give it a 4.5 out of 5.
Yeah, that was my exact rating. I didn't give it a 5 because like I didn't really have any emotions tied to it. So that's why I didn't give it a 5. But if you love dark humor or superheroes or basically anything along, like if you enjoy Deadpool, the Avengers, or anything like that, you will absolutely love this, like guaranteed. Our next one, probably the one that came out, I think it's our TV show that we watched that has came out the most recent, is True Story on Netflix. It stars Kevin Hart, and for me, it is by like, it's, I don't really know if he's done non-comedic performances. Like, I really don't know if he has, but he did a fucking stellar job at it. Like he basically plays himself, but in a different universe, I guess. And from the moment, like you watch that first episode, and from the moment that end of the first episode happens, you didn't want to stop watching. Like I literally did not want to stop watching. As soon as that first episode happened, I was like, what the fuck happens from here?
Yeah, absolutely. I get a lot of respect for Kevin Hart in this one. Cause like you said, it's not really comedy at all. Yeah. There are obviously some funny things that happen that make you laugh, but it brings a whole new perspective on how good of an actor that he really is. I don't want to say it's predictable by any means, but like I said earlier, I enjoy looking for those little kind of hints where you can see and predict things. I did see the end coming in this one, but it's, even if you kind of see it coming or not, it is so fucking phenomenal. And yeah, we watched this in probably like 3 nights. We watched like two episodes at least a night. So I think there's maybe 8. So maybe we watched it like 4 nights. Oh, 1 week it took us to watch.
Yeah. So yeah, for me, like you said, you saw the end twist coming. I didn't. But each episode, it felt like there was a new twist or new obstacle that he had to like get through to get past it. And in some shows, if you provide too many twists or obstacles, the show gets messy. But for me, it did like the perfect amount. Like it felt realistic enough. Everything that happened felt realistic enough to be like, holy fuck. And I told you this when we were watching the show, I said that all the emotions that Kevin Hart felt, like I was feeling, like whenever he like was going through like those anxiety attacks or whatever, like I was starting to like feel anxious because I was like,
you're like,
holy
oh my
fuck.
God, fuck.
Yeah. I'll go with my rating first. 5 out of 5. I saw the ratings on it on Rotten Tomatoes were not very good. And I was like, what the actual fuck?
I saw that too.
So people are obviously, once again, don't trust actual TV show and movie critics. Trust us. So
yes, trust us. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 60%, which is fucking bullshit. I gave it a 4.5 out of 5. One last thing I'll say about this is that, yes, obviously Kevin Hart, mainly every show he's in, he's the main character, which he is in this one, but it has such an incredible supporting cast that was, I think, honestly more important than what Kevin Hart was to this show. The supporting cast in this was absolutely fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, it was good. If you haven't watched it, I would definitely recommend. And it's an easy watch. It's only a few episodes. The first one, the first episode's an hour, but then the rest are only like around 30 to 40. So it's an easy watch.
Yeah.
Sure. So that's True Story on Netflix. Our next one is Succession. And probably, let's be honest, it's probably the, like, I feel like if you haven't heard about it, like until this season, you've heard about it by now.
It is your favorite girl. That's right. It's the Ali Mars, the one and the only. Everyone else just ain't me. I am the host of Welcome to Mars, a lifestyle podcast where nothing is off the table. I have come a long way from sex and dating and have transformed the new vibe to all things lifestyle. We still talk sex, but I'm more interested in the journey, where people have come from, how they made it, and where they're going. Subscribe or follow to a brand new look and a brand new era. Welcome to Mars.
Subscribe or follow on Apple, Spotify, Google, or at theallymars.com.
Because even with the new look, I'm still that same bitch you love to hate.
Yeah.
Because I didn't hear about it until the new season started coming out. I saw it and I was like, okay, I'll start it. But for those of you who haven't like seen it, like, I don't know. Like, all I have to say is go fucking watch it.
Yeah.
Like, so, I'll keep going here. I just finished season 3. And remember when we watched the season 2 finale together?
Yeah.
And that season finale was by far my favorite season finale of any show I've ever watched, that season 2 ending. And season 3 matched it. Like, it literally, really? The season 3 finale matched it. And the main part about this show is, like, I'll be honest, there are boring scenes and there are times that you grab your phone and you, like, you don't watch it. But this show makes up for it with every single twist that happens and the unbelievable dialogue that is consistent through every single episode.
Fuck yeah. I'm glad you said most because I'm still not done it yet. I've watched season 1. Season 2, I just finished myself yesterday. And like you said, season 2, the finale episode was where you were watching it in our apartment. I was just sitting there kind of watching it. And then I'm glad I watched that scene because it fucking hooked me in like 4 minutes. And I'm like, I'm going to start it today. So I've been watching it ever since. I was watching it pretty slowly because I was busy with school and the finals and all the other shit. But this is like one of the shows where I can truly say I hope or just wish this is my life.
Yeah.
When I'm like mid-30s. Yeah. Like, it's being that rich where you don't have to worry about basically anything except for fucking, I guess, sexual allegations and all that shit where people are trying to fucking get you canceled. But there's one main character, but there's about 7 technically main characters in my eyes, which are all so unique in their own way, but perfectly correlate with one another, where it's like one big fucked up happy family.
Yeah, no, I had the actors as a note, and they were honest. Every single actor in this plays their part perfectly.
Yeah, I couldn't think of any other actor to play their role better.
Yeah, no, and like you said, they all are so different in their own ways, and they all have such fucked up personality. Like, they literally all have fucked up personalities in their own ways.
But it's different fucked up, yeah.
Yeah, and it is so, like I said, there are points where you're like, oh, like nothing's happening, and then all of a sudden this absolutely wild twist happens, and then you can't stop watching. Literally. And like I said, it might be slow at points, but I have to give it a 5 out of 5. It is like truly a unbelievable show. So go fucking watch it.
So, and like I mentioned earlier, I kind of hinted when I stopped watching Unforgivable last night, I just went right to Succession because I knew it's just every episode's fucking good. But yeah, I just started season 3, so I'm excited. But 5 out of 5 for me. Rotten Tomatoes gives it a 98, but we give it 100. So
yeah, we're better than Rotten Tomatoes. We're right again. Right again. Rotten Tomatoes just doesn't understand what's going
on. It's a must watch. It's a must watch.
Yeah. The next show, probably one of the most popular during the pandemic, especially season one, Outer Banks. Would you like to take the lead here?
Sure. So, okay, maybe I know I just said Succession is the one where I wish it was
there. We go.
But Outer Banks as well. Like, I wish I lived this life in like my high school days, like the life John B lives. Obviously, I know he's been through a lot because obviously he lost his father when he was young, but being 18-year-old fucking John B and like the upbringing he had, or sorry, without the upbringing he had, is basically what I just wish. That's my dream high school life, mainly because he gets to date Madeline Klein. But that's just, man, Outer Banks, every single episode, just basically new. Something new happens every single episode. There's always something that's like, oh, what happens next? Unpredictable, I think. I love it all around. I think it's a good show. There's a couple of things where it's like, that doesn't make any sense. It's almost like the directors or producers got kind of lazy with a few things, or maybe ran out of time and wanted to like get it out before. I think maybe like the pandemic kind of rushed the filming of this show, so they had it out in time for everyone to watch it.
Rush season two, you think?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Okay. So for me, like season one was by far one of my favorite shows, like during the pandemic, and everyone watched it. Like everyone was like, you know, trying to buy clothes. Like we bought clothes that were like the same shirts that they wear kind of thing.
Yeah.
But fuck, for me, man, season two had way too many moments where it was so unrealistic for certain things to happen.
Yeah, man.
It reminded me of how badly season two of Riverdale ruined that show.
No, I think it was season three, Riverdale. The Griffins and Gargoyles.
Whenever the Griffins and Gargoyles came in for that.
Yeah.
But it didn't, like, season two didn't ruin, it didn't ruin Outer Banks the way the whole Griffins and Gargoyles really fucked Riverdale. But, like, there was too many scenes in this fucking season two where I was like, there's no fucking way that actually just happened.
Like, yeah, there was a couple scenes where they were split up. Like, two of them were split up from the other three or four.
Yeah,
whole different states, and then all of a sudden they turn the corner on their bike and they run into each other.
Yeah, and then there was the one where like the one guy who's basically coked out the entire season, he was like holding up Rafe. He plays a coked out teenager so well.
I love it.
But I don't know if cocaine gives you super strength or not, but there was one point where he was holding this thing that apparently like you needed like a crane to lift basically, or like a group of five people. He was holding it by himself.
Yeah.
And I was like, how did it go from we need five people to carry this fucking thing to him literally just on drugs holding this thing by himself?
No, that's what I mean, where I think that like the producers and like directors kind of almost rushed season two just so they could get it out in time for the pandemic so everyone could binge it and they could get their views and their hours watched. But they got lazy with some of the scenes where it's just like they, instead of taking 10 minutes to maybe add some more like realistic shit, they just said, oh, that works, and added it into the episode.
Yeah. Okay. So my rating, I have to degrade it because of its last season.
Same here.
I'm giving it a 2 out of 5. It would be lower if it wasn't for Sarah Cameron. So I'm going to be harsh.
I did what you did for Midsommar. I gave it two different ratings. I rated each season one, 4.5 out of 5. Season 2, 1.5 out of 5.
You went all the way 1.5. Yeah. Honestly,
season
I just...
was so dog shit, man.
I just hate it. They did feel like they rushed it, but I just hate, like, so many, like I said, just so many events that happened where it was just like, there's no fucking way that would happen in real life. Like, there's literally... Like, it literally doesn't make sense. It like you said, like, they were literally, like, on opposite sides of the state. And then there's the one scene where it shows the one group driving a car and the other group driving a boat. So they somehow miraculously had a mission to the same city. And then next thing you know, the scene happens where one of them is running away from a person. The other people are biking down the road or some shit on the exact same street. It was like,
literally,
come on.
And I'm definitely going to spoil this here, but I don't really care for this show if I spoil anything. But the one scene where the dad is on his yacht and it blows up. First of all, he wouldn't survive that in real life.
No, there's no way.
The graphics of the explosion, man, it's 2021. You can have
better CGI than that.
It was the worst explosion and the most unrealistic outcome I've ever seen in fucking cinematic history.
Yeah, they cheaped out on that one. Netflix has to be better.
Be better, Netflix.
There is, I think they're making a season 3, so hopefully they make it a bit more realistic here.
Well, it can't get much worse.
Literally can't. All right, next show. Probably one of the most popular shows, especially in North America.
Yes.
Holy, that was a good voice crack. Yellowstone, which is available on Prime. Everyone's heard of it by now. And up until this latest season, almost kind of like Outer Banks, up until the latest season, it was by far one of my favorite shows. Don't get me wrong. All the actors are still acing their roles. They're still playing exactly what they have to. They're, you know, Rip is still being Rip. Beth is still trying to seduce me through television. They do all their roles perfectly, but nothing has happened this entire season. Like, am I wrong? Like, I've watched Yellowstone for like 7 or 8 episodes now and nothing's happened.
Man, this season is literally Jimmy. Every goddamn episode has started with like 10 minutes of Jimmy at the 4-6 ranch. So obviously something's going to happen with him. Like, the thing about this show, like you said, it's the same as Outer Banks in the sense where the first seasons were so good, but this one kind of sucks. But man, any show that Kevin Costner is in, and just the fact that this is, I think, more was put into this show than Outer Banks. I still have 100% faith that something crazy is going to happen.
Yeah.
Hopefully the next episode, because there's already been 9, man, and nothing's happened. So only room for 1 or 2 more before the whole entire season's over.
Yeah. The only thing that's happened the entire show is like there's people protesting, it seems like, every episode. And then Beth Dutton is being a bitch to someone and I get an erection. Like, that's the only thing that is consistent throughout this show that I find.
Yeah. She yells at her dad and then she just turns us on the next scene. But
there was, can we talk about that one scene where she was in his bedroom? And I swear to God, it felt like they were going to like make out or something.
Dude, he was watching him change.
Yeah. And it was so weird. It was like you knew their mom and dad in the show, but it literally felt as though she was like about to seduce her dad. And I was like, we literally looked at each other like, are we about to watch them make out?
I was low-key hoping something did happen because nothing had happened before the whole time. But yeah, whether you like Westerns or the like ranching lifestyle or whether you don't, I highly recommend watching the show anyways. It's badass. Like, it's like a stereotypical badass TV show. It's got such a cool way of showing how powerful one human could be. Basically, also money's involved. It's Montana in a nutshell. Like, season 1 and 2 is basically like the fight between rich ranchers and Native Americans.
And then fights between rich ranchers and other rich ranchers. Basically, which is Montana.
Literally, Rip Wheeler is probably one of my favorite characters of all time, other than like Tommy Shelby and there's other ones that we'll get into. But he is one of my favorite quotes of all time. It's fucking hilarious. He's just a walking quote, but he has, there's sharks and minnows in this world, Jimmy. And if you don't know which one you are, you ain't a fucking shark.
Nice.
I think that's awesome. Rip is just fucking, his one-liners, he doesn't miss, man. Does not miss.
You're probably going to see a tattoo of a shark on my leg in the next couple months just to remind myself.
that you're a fucking shark?
Yeah. All right. My rating. Okay. The strength of the first 3 seasons will keep it up. So for now, I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. But for the love of God, like, the producers and creators of the show, can you just make something happen? Like, just a, I don't know. Like, I just, something happened.
Yeah, something has to, man. Like,
but
you can't have a show with Kevin Costner and not have something happen.
Yeah, so 4 out of 5 for me. I'll rely on the first 3 seasons to give my rating for the show. So,
okay, I gave a 3.75 for this season, but 5 out of 5 for both the other ones. So overall, I'm going to give it like a.
No wait, isn't this the fourth? I think this is the 4th season.
Is it, or is this the 4th?
Yeah, no, this is the 4th. First one was Native Americans. Second one was the brothers. And then 3rd season, fighting that corporate dude who was good looking, but he had like the stringiest hair ever.
Yeah. The worst hair in fucking.
Yeah.
You're right, looking fourth, dude. My bad.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think overall I'm going to give it like a 4.75. I still definitely highly recommend it because something's going to happen. Mark my word.
Yeah. If nothing happens though, my rating goes down to probably a 2.5 because you can't produce like this popular of a show and then for an entire season you're like, we're gonna make the plot basically them just doing nothing. Like, next one will probably be a bit shorter of a review because I haven't seen the show in a while. But we're going to go with Mindhunter on Netflix. A twisted and dark fucking show. Really, it's about these two. Is it CIA or FBI? CIA, FBI. I think. I don't know. I think it's. Is it FBI? I think it's FBI. Whatever.
It's CIA.
It's some CIA. Fucking guy who works for a government agency in America, but they're two guys who they interview serial killers. And basically, it just makes you. Like, they're trying to find out why serial killers do what they do and then find like patterns within their. The way they kill people, which is very awesome. I was engaged throughout the entire show when I was watching it. And the fact that it's really like they're all real serial killers. They're all real people and they're real life events that occurred. One of my favorite parts about the show is watching an episode and they interview a serial killer. And then I'll go look up that serial killer and find out how fucked up this guy actually was. Like the one guy, Edmund Kemp, you can literally go on YouTube and find
Edmund
interviews. Kemper. Yeah, you can literally find his interviews on YouTube. Like, it's fucking nuts. honestly, like, yeah, it's a good show. Like, there was some times when I thought it was very slow paced, and there was a couple episodes where they didn't even interview serial killers. Like, they're obviously, like, trying to figure out. It is a bit slower paced, but for me, it was engaging in this aspect where it does the based on true events very well. So,
yeah, it's... you basically nailed it. What I had was that it's... Yeah, it's like old murder and crimes. It's back in the days of like, who was it? There was John Gacy, Charles Manson, Richard Speck. Edmund Kemper was my favorite. And I think, honestly, the actor who played Edmund Kemper won a award in his supporting role. All around, I think it's great. It's about the two guys who just basically use the psychology aspect to try to figure out the behaviors of these killers and why they do what they do. I gave it a 4.5 out of 5.
Nice. Yeah. I will.
It's not a documentary, by the way, but it's based on true events. So.
Yeah, no, I loved it. It's like I said, I was engaged throughout. I'll give it a 4 just because of its slow pace. But sure. Like, it's very engaging just because of the aspect that it's based on true events. Right. So,
yes.
Yeah, that's good. For you were 4.5. So 9.5 out of 5. So you should probably watch it. Our next show, probably one of the more popular ones, especially with are we Gen X? Z? We're not millennials.
We're Gen Z. I don't know, man.
I don't know. It really doesn't matter. But for like people around our age, from probably the age of 17 to probably 35. No, way too old. 28. 17, 28. That's probably one of the most popular shows, I would say. Sure. Is that a fair age demographic for this show?
Yeah. I mean, I think my parents might have watched season one. I think they enjoyed it.
Okay, let's go fucking age 17 to 100 then. Let's do that. the next show is You on Netflix. Yes.
Me on Netflix.
I hate that you actually had to make that joke. Okay, I'll be honest. This was my favorite season so far, and I will tell you why.
You're going to say the same thing I will, so I won't even talk for this one.
I hated these new characters so much, and every single time... It looked as though like Love and Joe were in the clear. They would just kill another person. And it frustrated me so well. But I think that's exactly what the producers were going for. Like they wanted you, they not only wanted you to hate all these rich characters who won't eat gluten, but they wanted you to think that these main characters were getting out of every situation they put themselves into. But then they would add another problem to deal with. And that, like, and in this case, the show's problem was another murder. It just doesn't stop, which is also one of the best parts of the show, is that just people keep dying left and right, which is very entertaining. And I'm not saying that because I like killing people. It's just an entertaining show to watch. I think they did exactly what they wanted to with this season. The other two seasons were very engaging in themselves, and this one was probably my favorite. I didn't like the very ending. I wish they went with a different direction at the very end of season three. But still a very good, very good show, very good season on top of the other two exceptional seasons. So,
I agree. I think all three seasons were done very well. I think that this last season, the fact that there was so many murders and deaths, and they all happened right when these two people, which was obviously the main characters, move into this new town. It's like, how do you not know? Like, there's so much so many like things that the other normal people and like the locals in the TV show should have known it was these two the whole entire time. It's almost kind of frustrating to that point where it's like, holy shit, like quit acting dumb. But yeah, I think it's good in general still. I think, like you said, those annoying actors and actresses were there for that reason. Like, they annoy you and that they're stupid, but it's like they have to be, or else maybe, like I just said, it'd be too predictable. I think, like you said too, the ending, I wish it went the exact opposite than the way that happened. I'm not going to spoil it because it's a pretty new show. Not everyone's watched it, but the ending, yeah. I wish it was kind of different ending so that the next season could be completely different. Because I don't know what they're going to do next season. It's going to be the exact same shit for the fourth season.
Yeah. And really, the main thing that drew you in with the show in season one, and then obviously from then on, is it literally showed you how easily it is to stalk people. That first season where he like was stalking the blonde girl or whatever, like it legit made it look so easy, where he found out all her information so easily. It was nuts. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, there's always good looking girls in it, so you can't complain there.
I have a huge crush on Love. She is, and in real life she's only 27. One funny thing I had was that Love in the show was 34 years old, and then that one kid is 18. So 16 years age difference. In real life, he's 1 year older. He's 28, she's 27, and they're actually dating in real life. So that's kind of cute.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I don't really have much more. It's just, it is a really good show, and it's one of those ones where it does end on cliffhanger. So you're always like, fuck, I need to watch another one.
I'll give it for sure.
Yeah, I'll give it a 4.5 out of 5. This season upped the show's level for me, but I know there are a lot of people who didn't think the season was good, but for me it was honestly better. So
yeah, I give it a 4.5 out of 5 as well, Bill. So 90 overall, watch it. Ron Tomatoes gave it a 90 as well. So maybe
the thing is I feel like a lot of people have watched it already. So
I think so.
One of our, how many do we got? We got two shows left. Okay. Kale and I's probably favorite show between the two of us. We don't have to talk too much. Yeah, we don't have to talk too much about how we love it, because obviously we do. But Peaky Blinders, which is also on Netflix. Kale, go ahead.
Yeah, so this is an epic following of gangsters in the Irish-Romania origin set in Birmingham, England in 1919, which was, and the show was perfect setting because it was several months after the First World War, which plays a huge part in this show. Once again, like I said, for two other shows, this is a time where I wish I lived that life. Obviously, 1919, you don't want to be one of the bums or the poor people in that time. But the Shelby family, in this case, what they became, so awesome. The way they dress, the way they talk, the way they act. They literally kill people for fun sometimes, which is, who doesn't like doing that? Tommy Shelby is probably the...
We don't encourage murder, though. No, we don't encourage murder, though. We're going to throw that out there for our last two comments. So
I couldn't think of a better actor than Cillian Murphy playing Tommy Shelby. Truth be told, the picture of the Shelby family has been my background on my computer for like 2 years now. I also have on my door at home where I am right now, I have Shelby Co. Limited, a sign on my door, just because I thought I was fucking cool when I put that there. I'm pumped for the next season, which should come out in the next few months, I think.
Yeah, right? It should be. I think it's February or something.
Bales also dresses in for Halloween 2 years ago. So
so for me, Thomas Shelby is probably my favorite TV character of all time. Mm-hmm. Like, so every move that he makes is so elaborate and so well calculated that it seems like the odds are always against him. But he pulls off these like big like moves or like big plays, I'm going to call them, I guess, but
sure, big plays.
The odds are always against him, but the moves that he makes seem realistic enough to pull off. Like, he pulls these off, and you know, there's some shows where he's like, there's no way he got out of that. In this show, it seems like he gets out of all these moves, and he moves himself up in the criminal underworld of England back in those times. And it seems realistic enough. And he has some of the best acting scenes I've ever seen in my life. Like, some of the scenes where he like gets really into his character, some of the best acting I've ever seen on TV. And I'll be honest, for those of you who haven't seen it, and it is a slow paced start. Like, it took me until season 2 to really get into it. Like, my first season, I was like, and you know, like it's decent. It's a show I'll watch. But as soon as season two and season three get going, I could never stop watching. And as like coming from a person who didn't get right into it and now is in love with it, I would highly recommend it. So you have to really watch it to get into it. So
yeah, definitely. I actually watched this twice fully through. The reason I watched it the second time around is so I could hopefully butt up right to when the new season came out, but I just binged it way too fast. I've been done for like 2 months already. The one amazing thing about the show is that like it's so, like you said, it is so realistic. Like the things that he comes up with, a lot of TV shows, if something goes wrong with the main character, the producers or the whatever, the creators could just be like, we'll just have him somehow just fucking everything's all rosy the next day. It always works out for the main character. But in this one, whenever something goes wrong, you actually see his character like develop and figure something out that actually works. Even if there's five things going on wrong at once, one thing he does fixes all those five.
Yeah.
It's so realistic.
You see, awesome. You see the downfall, like you see the downfall and it's everything about it seems like, holy fuck. Like if I was in position, like that's exactly how I'd react. But then he comes up with some fucking amazing like decision that just solves all his problems. And I'm like, how the fuck did he come up with that?
And it's
which
also,
obviously he didn't. It was the creators of the show, obviously. But
But another cool thing too is that, yeah, it's not necessarily based on true stories, but these are real people. Like the Peaky Blinders are real. Alfie Solomons, who Tom Hardy is, he is real. Al Capone's involved in this. Winston Churchill's involved in this. Titanic is involved in this. Everything it's, like in the time period that happened, and they actually kind of incorporated the Peaky Blinders into the real world in 1919.
Yeah, 1926. I can't remember what it's called exactly, but it's like a fiction. It's a non-fiction show where it takes real life events, but then it puts its own spin on how these occurred.
Yeah. And they they have all these real characters. Like what's that one, the fascist, what's his name?
Oh, the fascist.
Osmond something.
Yeah. Whatever his name is. But yeah, like he was a genuine, like fucking, he was basically a Nazi, like is what he was, but he was in England. All right, 5 out of 5, easy peasy for me. Top five shows of all time.
Easy
decision. Last show, probably the most popular show of all time globally. Let's be honest, just as this podcast is. Let's be honest. Yeah. Squid Game. If you haven't seen it, what are you doing?
I haven't seen it.
Okay. I guess I'll take the lead then. For me, like I loved it. I binged through it. I wanted to see all the new games that they played within each episode and to see which characters were going to die, but I'll nitpick the show a bit here. I wish the creator of the show didn't choose a main character for it, because from the very first episode, like it obviously shows like the main character before he got into the Squid Game or whatever, or into the arena, I guess you could call it. And from that moment on, you obviously knew this character was going to ultimately win, but I wish he would have gone with like a more complicated layout of the plot. Like I wish he would have like had a group of main characters where like he focused on each of them equally. Don't get me wrong. Like there is like other characters within the actual game itself that like it gives a bit of context to them, but you knew who was going to win the entire show. So I wish he started off by like having like a group, I don't know, like of like, you could even gone like only to like six characters, and then each episode, one of these main ones who you thought had a chance at winning were ends up dying. That's me nitpicking it, because I knew who was going to win in the end. Like I'm sure like I'm not the only person who felt that way. But that's just me nitpicking it. However, the show obviously was super engaging, super fucked up. And if you really like, you have to watch it. Like if you haven't seen it, like you have to understand like these, like the games itself, like you could literally in each episode just skip to when they do the games that they play, and it's worth it in itself. Like it's so fucked up.
Well, that's the thing. Like, man, I've tried, actually. I watched the first two episodes with a friend probably like a month and a half ago, and then I just kind of never got back into it. But I've seen so much of it online where I almost feel like I have seen it. So it's like almost pointless for me to start watching it now when everyone else in the world has.
Yeah. So me nitpicking it is just me being an asshole, obviously. But I if you would have done that, I felt like I would have been even more engaged, because I would have been like, okay, who, like which one of these people are actually going to fucking win? Because I knew who was going to win.
Like, yeah,
you know that based upon the first episode, who it focuses on. But I like, that's me being a fucking asshole and a douchebag. But right. I will give it a 4 out of 5. You don't want to be that one person who hasn't seen it, Kale. So
that's me, but I'll be that person. It's fine.
Okay.
I'm okay with it.
Great way to wrap up with me just doing it, I guess, because you didn't want to watch our very last show. All right. Do you want to get in the shower thought of the day, buddy?
Yeah.
Little guy.
Yeah, well, I fucking hated that. Don't ever call me buddy again.
Okay, little man. I'll go first here because it's not a special one, but I can guarantee you anyone who's listening to this within the next few days is going to relate to. 2022 is literally in 3 days.
Wow. What the fuck? Fucking shower thought, man.
Yo, I didn't need to get into depth. Like this year. I said depth.
There you go. That's better.
You're wearing a moose onesie right now. Shut up.
Nah. You have proof?
I could take a picture right now.
Literally on our Instagram story.
Okay. Yeah, dude. But like, seriously, like I'm 98% sure that it's because of COVID and like how we've obviously said this so many times, but since COVID hit, the years that have COVID have hit and gone by so fast and it feels like nothing has really happened.
Yeah.
And now absolutely. It's already 2022 and we're already back in this fucking nonsense where there's lockdowns and shit and everyone has COVID right now.
Yeah. You heard it here first. It's cool to have COVID again, right, Bells?
No, you're in the not cool phase.
Yeah, whatever. But that is true. Like this whole entire year, like whenever someone says, well, we had the boys over the other day and we were talking about, oh, last summer when we were at this place, it's like, no, that was 2 summers ago. It's like, okay, what about like that last summer we were playing this? Like, no, that was 2 summers ago.
Yeah,
like,
and we
the
thought
whole entire
Yeah. No, it's a blur. Life's a blur when you're having
absolutely.
Fun.
Absolutely.
Go ahead. I wanted to go first because I know that wasn't really a lot of thought, but everyone's going to be like, damn, it is 2022. What am I doing with my life? So go ahead.
Do you have any New Year's resolutions kind of plan that you're not going to tell, but just keep yourself?
No, I'll tell it because that way I get held accountable. I'm going to do dry January, so I'm not going to drink.
So am I.
I'm going to try to get back into my pristine shape, treat my body like a temple for a month, and then go back to my regular habits. So
see, I'm going to do that as well, but I'm also going to just try to be a nicer person. I think as
you should, that's
pretty
yeah,
broad,
that's,
but
that's a good one for you though, because you're an asshole.
I've done a lot of people wrong in the past 6 months. I'm not going to say who they are. They know who they are. They probably actually don't listen to the podcast anymore because they hate me, but yeah, I'm just going to try to be a better person through and through.
Nice, man.
I mean, lots of ways you can do that. So hopefully I just kind of pick one and stick with it, but yeah, it's gonna be a new Kale 2022.
I don't need to be a nicer person. I have a good balance of being an asshole and then being a teddy bear. So,
okay,
go ahead.
Anyways, my
waiting for your
shower
thought.
So you know when like you're watching sports, it usually abbreviates the team name to 3 letters.
Yeah,
when Sweden is playing Denmark, it's Swe versus Den. So that's Sweden. The other remaining letters from each of those countries spells Denmark. How crazy is that?
Nuts. Nuts,
Sweden,
bro.
Sweden. It spells Sweden. And the next remaining letters are Den. Oh. Is the end of Sweden. And then Mark. Den of Denmark.
You know what? And you know the show, the Midsummer movie you just watched? It was based in Sweden, right?
Yes.
And one of the lines that one of the guys said, it makes total sense. It said, why are all the women in Sweden so good looking? And the line was, well, because back in the ancient Viking days, the Vikings would just take all the good looking girls and bring them here, which if you think about it, like I've watched the show Vikings and it makes sense. Like the strong Vikings who just murder people for fun, they would just grab whichever girl they wanted. So it makes sense. Like that's why Sweden is so good looking is because like all the Vikings just grabbed all the beautiful women and were like, you're coming to our country. So
the Vikings know what they were doing, eh?
Yeah. Also, you heard it here. You heard it here first. The World Juniors will be canceled.
Yes, you heard it here first from Minimal Filters. The World
Minimal Juniors Filters.
I'm going to make a post right now.
Yeah, you should, because I think it will
you
be
heard it here first.
Let's take all the credit when it gets canceled for sure.
You should send me a clip of this and I'll post it.
Okay, I'll try to. I don't really know how to do that. All right, quick note. We're going to take the first week off in January. We've been working way too hard at this. Too much effort's putting into this, right, Kale?
Time to recover. Plus, school is going online, which means we're going to be online a lot on our computers long enough for the first week. We'll need time to just relax and, you know, better ourselves and wind down from this amazing break that I'm not having.
If you've made it this far in the podcast, which I'm sure only a rough, I think the numbers are about 68% of people make it to the end of our podcast is when what I last looked at. If you make it this far, thank you for all your help this year. Means a lot. You guys give me butterflies in my stomach. You make me blush. That's all I got. I'm going to get nice and soft here for you, Kale.
You know what? We should actually do, if you're listening right now, DM us a smiley face. Just so we can see how many of you loyal
see how many people
stick the whole way through.
But there's also going to be people who are going to be like, I don't want to go through the effort of DMing these guys. So it's okay. We're going to assume that the 1,000 people listening to this podcast want to DM us, but they don't want to go through the effort of that. So.
Yeah.
All right. You got any more final notes or can we wrap this up?
My only final note I have is hope you all had a Merry Christmas and have a Happy New Year. And everyone comes out of 2021 looking to better themselves for 2022.
All right. Thank you guys. Have a great rest of your year. Happy New Year.
Hopefully that my COVID brain didn't, lower my, it is right now. What's where we're looking for?
Just say thanks, guys. Just say thank you.
Damn it.
All
thank
right.
you all.
All right. You. Yeah, thanks, man.
Hi, I'm Mercedes Nickel, 4-time Winter Olympian and host of Dropping In, a podcast with Mercedes. This is a podcast where I interview a bunch of different people. I get the good, the bad, and the ugly, as well as I share my stories along the way. Now you can drop in at droppingin.com or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. I'll see you soon.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all had.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.